Let's just begin by trying to clarify and expand on a few points that we made in the previous year. We had noted multiple approaches in Rishonim to address the question of how to reconcile the notion of Shriyasa Zokibuso with Gemaras that seem to indicate contrary, the Gemara that indicates that a person can be holy Chatzavar B'mayim on Yom Kippur, the Gemara that indicates that Isha Maremes, the Tevel Sebigda. So how does that square with Shriyasa Zokibuso? So we noted the most famous two answers that appear in Tosas Daf Kuf Yud Aleph in Shabbos, as well as elsewhere. Teretz number one, that it's a function of a beged naki versus beged meluchlach, that there's no iser kibbutz for beged naki, which the bottom line were machmir not to accept that lelach halisa chachila. And then you have the famous position of Rabbeinu Tam that any shriya done derech lichlach is not subject to an iser of kibbutz, and the okimtas of walking on tzavar b'mayim or isha maremes is fails the bigda. Those are cases where the exposure to water is one of derech lichlach and not one of derech nikayim. So those are the two major theories in Rishonim that have halshalachos halacha, and that second theory we do accept halacha in the Ramah. And then we noted other theories in Rishonim as well. We noted the Yireim didn't like any of Rabbeinu Tam, any of the two answers in the Bali Tosas. So the Yireim suggests that maybe those Gemaras that indicate no Isser Shriya, that's an okimta of a beged or. And then we also noted the Rivada that the Gos Maimonides quotes that zeroes in on the lack of Kavanah. So I'm going to come back to that Rivada again in a few moments. As far as the Tosas Yishanim, the Urayim's Tosas Yishanim rejects it in Yuma, the Urayim's suggestion of an Okimta of Beged Or, there are some other variations on the theme in Rishonim, just to note. The Me'iri Beis HaYudches Amud Aleph, the Me'iri Beis HaYudches Amud Aleph, and the footnote there points out the Michtam says this as well, suggests, or quotes, this isn't where he lands himself, but he quotes the suggestion, which is what's found in the Michtam, Lo Nemar Shriyasa Zokibuso, Ela Bishel Tzemer, that we only say Shriyasa Zokibuso by Tzemer, and not by Pishtim. So you don't have to come to the Dochuk of the Urayim to say that Hacha Ma'iskin, and the guy walking on Tzavar B'mayim, is walking barefoot on Yom Kippur with a leather jacket. You can say that he's walking with Pishtun clothing, which is more reasonable than wearing big day or. Okay. And the flip of that, we had discussed, I think, two shiurim ago, at least noted the Torah quotes the position of the Maharam, that the Maharam is not talking in the context of this kasha of the Rishonim. The Maharam just says that Shriyasa Zokibuso is only by Pishtin and not by Tzemer, the opposite of this day on the Michtam and the Me'iri. So he's not coming to address this question, but the Prima Gadim, Eshel Avram Simin Shin Beis, Sukkotin Yud Ches, Eshel Avram Simin Shin Beis, Sukkotin Yud Ches, the Prima Gadim says, well, according to the Maharam, you have a teretz to the Kasha of the Rishonim. That Tacha Ma'iskinan for the Maharam, Shriyasa Zokibuso is only problem with Pishtun, so the guy walking through the water is wearing tzemer. So the opposite of the Me'iri, that a variation on the same theme. So there are three possibilities in Rishonim that all reflect the same idea, that those Gemaras that indicate a person could be walking through water on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, those are talking about an okimta of a certain type of beg and not subject to Shriya, be it or, be it Pishtun, be it tzemer. No.
Your problem, the Me'iri and the Mechamor B'Fair is trying to answer the question.
Correct. Now, the Me'iri quotes this as a daya that he doesn't land on himself. The Michtam sounds like he's saying it as his preferred shita. The Maran that the Torah quotes isn't talking in this context at all, but the Prima Gadim makes the Ara that Lefi the Maran, this Kushya of the Yishonim is Beyushev as well. Yeah.
Are the stars for Fisher and Zemer?
I don't know. I presume that any Svaros here have to deal with the level of absorbency and the effect of the water. So obviously, Tzemer and Pishtun are both absorbent, but maybe in terms of the effect of Shriya as opposed to Kiskus, there's some Mitziuti difference that one is more effective than the other. So how do you have Rishonim saying the exact opposite things in terms of Mitzius? I don't know. None of this is really relevant Lalacha. But just pointing out, since we had noted the Urayim last time, that there are other Rishonim on record that have variations on the same theme. Now, let's just go back to the Riva that we mentioned and briefly address last time that the Gos Maimonides quotes, who zeroes in on the requirement of Kavanah in order to affect Shriyoso Zehu Kibusa. So let's just read again the citation in the Agos Maimonios. Shumatsasi b'shem Riva gam came. Sheim nitzu meiraglayim al begada b'tofech amnathapiyach. That if you have meiraglayim that spritz on your clothing in such a way that the liquid is significant, sheina yachal avarakalus pawel, where you're in a situation where because of the presence of that meiraglayim, you can't daven in your current situation. Shemoter lase salein mayim levayla, and you can apply water, even though presumably that should be a problem of shriyasa zeo kibuso. Sheina miskavein ala latahir velo lakibus. So there your kavana is only for the halachic benefit of the mitar the baged for purposes of tefillah. Your kavana is not to clean the baged. Varaya midin da shamaramis v'toveles b'gadeha. So it sounds like he's saying that that also is a function of kavana. Yishamaramis v'toveles b'gadeha. There is no kavana likibus, and therefore it's mutter here too. There's no kavana likibus, and therefore it's mutter. So what is the significance of kavana in this context? So last time we quoted the Avnei Nezer, who understood, even though he doesn't think that the svar is so compelling, but he understood in the Yeriva that there's some kind of melechas machsheves calculation over here, that if you have no kavana to affect the kibbutz, then there's a lack of melachas machsheves that renders it not a melacha. To embellish that a little bit more, or to say it a little bit more tightly, perhaps, I saw the Mereshes Moshe in Simon Kuf Tzadi Dalid, who says as follows. He says it himself, and then he says he thinks that's what the Avnei Nezer means, that when it comes to evaluating the relative status of Shriya versus Kiskus, the relative status of soaking versus rubbing, or the more rigorous type of kibbutz, which is a broader application. So Shifshuf, he says, is the real authentic action of kibbutz. That's how you properly clean a baguette, by rubbing it together. That's the primary form of kibbutz. Shriya is a lower level of kibbutz that is, he says, a malacha klusha, a weaker type of malacha. So maybe the kavana sariva is that we can only really define it as a malacha in context. The act of shriya itself doesn't necessarily affect, leave an effect kibbutz. It's not definitionally part of kibbutz. It could affect kibbutz, but only so where there is kavana. So it's a lower level type of action of malacha klusha that in order to view it as kibbutz, in order to create an iser, there has to be kavana. What we have quoted briefly last time from Rabbi Willig, printed in Am Mordechai Simon Kaf Zayin, is that maybe the Riva isn't reflecting a brand new teretz, but he's simply modifying the requirement of the heter of Derech Lech Lech. That there is a heter of Derech Lech Lech, but the heter of Derech Lech Lech is only if you don't have kavana lechabes. If you have kavana lechabes, so that compromises the Derech Lech Lech. It only makes sense to say that there's a heter of Shriya Derech Lech Lech if your kavana isn't the Berkibus. But you can't hide behind the fact that it's Derech Lech Lech if your intent is Lekibus. So maybe kavana isn't standalone, but it's a modification of the other existing position of Derech Lech Lech. I saw in the annotated Tosus Rid, the Masada Rav Kook edition that came out relatively recently. So the Magia there has the same analysis of the Tosus Rid and Beitzah, although I'm not exactly sure what compelled him to say that. I don't see how that's Muchach at all in the Lashon of Tosus Rid. But you can tell me what you think. The Tosus Rid writes over there, Umishum kibbutz o chashina, and this is in the context of holechat savaro. Ulekibbutz lo chashinan, umishum kibbutz lo chashinan. the Alpha Gavdar Minan Baga Triasas El Kibuso, the Amos Karminan Hachi, Kishamiskavin Lechabso. When do we say Triasas El Kibuso? That's when you have Kavana Lechabis. Alpha P, Shalo Kibasto. Even if you didn't do a full fledged kibus, Chayav, the Shriyasas El Kibuso. So if you have Kavana Lechabis, even if all you did was Shriya, you're still chayiv. Aval zeshe einu beskayiv in lechabso, but if you don't intend for kibbus, leka lechayuve mishum kibbus, you can't be mechayiv for kibbus, the atsevhu, or the atsufu, shehu nishra b'mayim, ilule shehu tarud v'asuk lehatbila. That's in the Maremes of Tavelis of the Gadeha, that you don't want to be in that situation of getting your clothes wet. And the only reason that you're doing that is to affect the tefillah on the gadim. So he emphasizes kavana. He says, you're only chai for shriya where there's kavana. Absent kavana, you're upset that your clothing is getting wet. And the only reason you're doing it is for the tefillah benefit. So I'm not sure how you see in that that the Tosfos Rid is presenting Kavana simply as a modification of Derech Lech Lech. I guess he's reading it as this is a case of Derech Lech Lech, and he says Kavana, but I don't see that as the emphasis of the Tosfos Rid the way we just read it. Okay. Now, I think it was, yeah.
That'd be Pshat and Rashi also by Menaher from Zion.
When you say
that if you're not puppet, then it's not kibbutz. But I suppose let's say there is both in submission and coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be, right, Rashi is saying that part of the definition by Menaher, maybe it's Malka Klusha, because it's Pena. Also, saying that it's coming.
Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later, Blinether, the different approaches that we showed into what the significance of a kapeda is in that context. Okay, good. Now, in discussing Derech Lech Lech, someone last time had noted, Ariel, noted that the Lashon Mishnah Brura, when he presents Derech Lech Lech in Sifkata Nun Aleph, is Sheyada Milch Lechos Umetanev Behem Es HaMapa. Your hands are dirty, and you're getting the mapa dirty. So we were asking, or the question was raised on the floor, can you call something Derech Lech Lech if it's Bistam? If it's not getting it dirty, it's not getting it clean. How critical is the fact that it's getting it dirty? So I saw in my inclination was that Derech Lech Lech is dependent on the Derech, not dependent on the particular effect at hand. The fundamentally something that is Derech Lech Lech is defined as not Shri of Kibbutz. So I saw in the Shabbos kitchen, he quotes at the Kaf HaChaim, quotes on the Tosefes Shabbos, who writes, "The gam im yad of nikios mikol makom ein daito lenakos hamet pachas kiim lenagev." That even if your hands are clean, but your intention in drying your hands on the towel is not to clean the towel, it's to dry your hands. The gam I afshar shalot tislach lech sas, and in any event, if you're drying your hands on the towel, even if it's not perceptible, there's going to be, even if your hands are clean, there's going to be some, albeit perhaps very minimal, effect of lichluch on the towel, such that any drying on a towel is by definition derech lichluch. And he also then quotes from a sefer Berakas Shabbos written by a Rabbi Eliyahu Fisher, Rosh Kol of the Gerer Kollel in Brooklyn, who quotes that this is what it sounds like in the Rush. The Rush, who writes, and we quoted the Rush last time, Ein ze derech nikayon the libun. Ella rove pa'amim mislachlachin b'mayim. That drying your hands on the towel is not derech nikayon v'libun. And most of the time, it's going to get dirty. But the emphasis is on the derech. Even in this particular instance, it doesn't get dirty. But what you're doing is an act of lichluch, not an act of nikayon. And he quotes the Lashon HaTosfos Yerushalmi in Yuma as well. The ein shriya zu derech nikayon v'libun. The gam eino miskavein lenakos ulahasir atinuf ayidei mayim upa'amim shemeslach leich od bekach. That the shriya itself, drying your hands on the towel, is not a shriya of derech nikayon v'libun. Your kavana isn't to clean anything, and it sometimes or often gets it even dirtier. But even if it doesn't get it dirtier, as long as your kavana is not to clean, you're not cleaning, it's not the derech of cleaning, then that's what we consider derech lichluch, not derech nikayon. And that falls within the heter of derech lichluch, such that you don't have to check how clean your hands are when you're drying them in the towel. Even if to your eyes they seem to be clean, you're still doing an act of lichluch that either is by definition a lichluch or may on some level be contributing even a tiny amount to the dirtying of the towel.
Even if the towel is like really, really dirty, such that your wiping of your hands is taking dirt off of the towel and very clearly making the towel a little bit less dirty than it was before?
Probably. That's probably still the definition of derech lichluch in the act that you're doing. Okay. And then one final comment on what we discussed last time before we move on. The question was raised that I hadn't really thought about so much in this context. When we talk about the various terutzim and rishonim as to limiting the application of shriyas of kibbutz, specifically or particularly relevant for derech lichluch, which is the one that we most broadly and enthusiastically accept lahalacha, does that carve out only apply to shriya? Does it apply to shifshuf as well? So I just had in my mind that the context of rishonim that addresses is all within shriya. And how do you know that it applies to shifshuf as well? But in, I'm sorry?
What's the case?
What's the case? The case is where you're drying your hands and you're going like this in a extreme shifshuf motion. I mean, you're not just lightly rubbing your hand on the towel. You're going like this on the towel. Like your hands on either side of the towel, you're going like that. So, arguably, there's no indication in the Rishonim or Rabbeinu Tam, those who quote Rabbeinu Tam, that there's any qualification as to the action that you do in drying your hands. The hatter is to dry your hands in a towel. It doesn't say you can dry your hands like that, but you can't dry your hands like that. So, I didn't find anything explicit, but I'm talking to a few other people. That was kind of the sense that it's self-understood that that kind of shift is included in the heter of Derech Nikayon as well. I did see in the Mereshis Moshe that he presents the various kulos that Rishonim have or the various restrictions or minimization of Shriyasa Zohar Kibuso in contrast to what he calls Kibbutz Gamor, but it's more in the context of Skitas Begadim, that it is clear the heter of Derech Nikayon doesn't apply to Skitas Begadim. But he's not really saying that it applies to that it doesn't apply to shifshuf either. So where this came up is that to the extent that we say that if you have a spill and you can put a towel down on the spill, a towel that we're not where you're going to come to be soaked, but you can't apply pressure on the towel to go like that to clean up the stain in such a way that it's possibly usuli de skita. So there, the reason you can't do that isn't because of the shifshuf shabot, because also shifshuf itself, it could be mutter, even because that's derech lichluch, but because of the concern of skitas begadim shabot, and that's present even b'makom lichluch. Okay. So let's segue now to the question as to whether kibbutz is relevant even without water. And that's the sugya on the very bottom of Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis onto Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara has a Memer of Rav Huna, last three words on Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis. Now we're ready on Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. Haminayir Talisa B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. If you shake out your talis on Shabbos, Mulacha D'Araisa. Shake off, shake out, Mulacha D'Araisa. Lo Amin El B'Chadati. That's only by a new talis. So Batiki Lesan Ba. No problem by an old one. It's only by a black talus. No problem if it's white or red. It's only a problem if you're makbid. So it has to be new, it has to be black, and it has to be makbid. Ula ikla lupumpadisa. So you saw the rabbis were shaking off their cloaks. Amar kamachal and rabbana shabsa. So not one to quickly be damakav's chos. Ula scream, the rabbis are being machal shabbos. I'm looking for Yehuda, the Fuse La Ba'ape, Anan Lo Kapdinan Midi. Go continue and shake out your cloaks to your heart's content in front of Ula, because the rabbis are makbid, and therefore it's mutter. Abai Avakai Kameh Rav Yosef, Armali Havli Kumsai, give me my hat. Chazidika Talala, there was dew on the hat. Havakamachasem Lemisvale. Amrlei was hesitant to give it to him because you know what you do with it. Amrlei nefotz shadi, you can go brush it off. Anan lo kapdina midi, I don't care. I'm not makbid. It's mutter. So the Gemara has a memra that to be minayer talisa on Shabbos is melacha d'oraisa, subject to the qualifications of new black makbid. Then the Gemara has two stories where there was a concern that maybe there's going to be melacha d'oraisa, and the response is not makbid, therefore okay. The second story is clearly talking about where the hat had tal in it. And the first story doesn't say what was on it, but arguably maybe it was a different substance. So what's the concern? What's the mitzias and the concern of minar talisa? It says Rashi, ha minar talisa mina afar. If you shake off a talis, you shake dirt off a talis, then chayav katas dezel libuna. So you have dirt on a talus, dust on a talus. Shaking it off is a malacha deraisa of libun. Elab uchmi sha'avak mekalkel marisa v'kapitale. As long as it's black, where the dust has a negative effect and you're makbid on it. Fine. According to Rashi, we're talking about a malacha d'oraisa of kibbutz libun in shaking dirt, dust off of a garment. So apparently you see that according to Rashi, one could violate kibbutz even in the absence of water. Yeah.
The medubar is when the dust is kind of trapped inside the neged?
We'll see, but yes, that's the... that's the assumption.
External, sorry? It seems to be looking at the scrap. Correct. Or...
Yeah, so we'll get there, but yes. Okay, says Tosfos, Perish ben Chananel, Minatal Shalav, Dahainu Kibas, Velibun Chayav Chatas. Ben Chananel says, we're talking about where there's dew, not afar. Bechei Mash, Vedavi Dumid, Kumsidra of Yosef. The case of Rav Yosef. It's clear that it's talking about where there's tal. Of a benir min afrik, the pish b'kuntres, a nira shehe shayach liba. So it's true that the middle case, or the first of the two stories, doesn't say refer to talking about tal. But the Ben Chananel said, the fact that the second story of the kumsa is talking about tal, is megala that the first story also may be talking about tal. And then the isra min aratalisa is only min atal, which is liquid. And then you have no raya to apply kibbutz absent any liquid. Now, even within Rashi, Shilta Giborim points out, Samach Beis Amud Aleph Os Beis, Samach Beis Amud Aleph Os Beis, that Rashi doesn't dispute the fact that you'd be chayiv if you're minayir tal. After all, that's the second story of the Gemara. And Rashi is telling you a bigger chiddush that lo mi bayi tal, but even afar could result in a of the Raisa. Now, Rabbi Kibbe Eger is bothered over here. He's Mitzayin in the Gilyon HaShas, Kufmem Aleph Amad Aleph, Rashi Dibra Maskal Nibifnim, Vitzarech Ian. What's going on Kufmem Aleph Amad Aleph? So there the Gemara tells us towards the bottom that there are restrictions on rubbing out a stain on a beged. The Gemara is a memra, seven lines on the bottom. We'll get back to this in its own context in a bit. Rav Kana says, if you have tit on a beged, you can rub it from the inside, meaning from the inside of the beged, not on the stain directly. If you have a stain over here, then you can, on your shirt over here, then you can rub it from the inside like this. Says Rashi, mibifnim, delo mochucha milsa, lis chazu eke malabin. Because it doesn't look like malabin. Malabin mamish lo have de enos in shamayim. So the whole concern of the Gemara here is only dumya de malabin, but the Gemara is not entertaining that it would be malabin mamish, because to be malabin mamish, you have to have water. So Rabbi Meir says, one second, Rashi just told us by Minara Talisa that you don't need water in order to affect kibbutz. Says the Shaar Tzion in Sifkatan Mem Aleph that the Mechaber there in Sift Zayin, which we'll come back to, quotes this halacha of Tit Nishash Shabifnim Dela Mucha Milsa Zlis Kazui Kemalabin Avalo Bechutz De Dami Lemalabin. Says the Mishru Lama Gimel De Dami Lemalabin She Misyafa Begad Al Yidei Zeb Malabin Mabash Lohavi Dei Nosa Lamayim. It's not real Malabin because there's no water. Says the Shaar Tzion Mem Aleph, Rashi. In the case of Minar Taliso, once you're done with your act of Nir, then there is no residual effect of the initial Afar. You remove the Afar, and the Beged is good as new. Here you're just removing the stain, the end of the stain. But the residue, there's still a mark that's going to remain on the beged. And that mark, you need to clean off with water. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar Tzion. B'medvar memur, and when do we say that you could affect leaven d'araisa absent water? That's where the effect of the leaven is going to be complete. Even without water, I totally remove the dirt, the dust, and there's no residual effect of that which I removed. So that kind of leaven can the effect of even absent water. But to do a liban to clean off a stain where there's going to be residue left, that's not a malacha deraisa absent water. Because cleaning off the stain only goes so far in affecting the liban of that beged. So where you're not going to fully remove the stain without water, then removing the stain without water is not a act of liban per se. So suggests the Mishnah Berurah of kibbutz per se. So suggests the Mishnah Berurah to be miyashev, whether it could be Eger flags as a stira in Rashi. Okay, so back to Minara Taliso, that we saw about Machlokas Rashi and Tosis. Are we talking about Mina Afar, which would indicate that you could have kibbutz deraisa even without water? Are we talking about Minatal, in which case there's no indication that you can have kibbutz deraisa without water? We alluded to previously, the Rambam has a totally different take on this Gemara. Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Ches. The Rambam presents this halacha in the context of Makkah B'Patish. The Rambam is a series of halachos that are examples of Makkah B'Patish, and one of them is Haminar Talis Kadasha Shechora Kidei Lina Osa Ulahasir Hatsihuv Halavan Hanitlaba Kiderech Sha'umnin Osin Chayiv Chatas Ben Eino Makbin Mutter. So if you're shaking off your black talus to remove the hatsihuv halavan, then you're chayim mishum makeh b'patish. What's tsihuv levan? So Magen Mishnah says it's a reference to tal. But when you're shaking the talus off the tal, when you're shaking the tal off the talus, it's not a Lieben problem, it's a makeh b'patish problem. The Prima Gadim has a different gears from the Rambam here. The Prima Gadim is in Mishmasot Zav Sivkatan Aleph, Shin Beis Aleph. Instead of Tzihav Lavan, he has Semer Halavan. And the Ravid argues on the Rambam, and the Ravid understands like Tosos. They were talking about Mechabes, not Makeh B'Patish.
Is it obvious that they're out there for sure? Like Makrat, that they're talking about Makkah B'Patish? Because with other examples, he says, like, Chai Misha Makkah B'Patish. But for this, he just says, Chai B'Patish.
It would be hard to say that because the Rambam Perek Tezayin begins Makkah B'Patish and he continues Makkah B'Patish through Yud Ches. There's no indication that there's anything else going on here. I don't think anyone understood the Rambam differently, and it seems like you're right that he doesn't end Misha Makkah B'Patish, but the previous halachas about Misha Makkah B'Patish, and there's no new paragraph here that would indicate we're talking about a different halacha. Curious if there are any nisqalos in the Rambam that do have that add Chai Misha Makkah B'Patish at the end. That doesn't look like it. You let me know if you see anyone that suggests otherwise in the Rambam, but I don't think anyone does. Yeah.
I thought that it was Masha from the Shulta Gibor because he compares Rashi and the Kabbalah. He didn't say the Beirut. He doesn't. He just says Rashi and the Rambam are of the same Shita in the sense that they all both hold by Upar. So it sounds like he understood the Rambam exactly like Rashi.
Yeah, you think that?
I mean, he was Tussle at the very least. He didn't say.
Here you're saying
The whole piece, he thinks Rashi and Rabbi are Chada Machta, even though there's what we're saying, it should be different.
Right, I mean, he's saying in terms of that it applies to Afar. Okay, don't know, but the Rambam commonly is assumed to view this as a Makabe Patish consideration. And the attraction of the Rambam may be, the Magen Mishnah says the attraction is that he thinks he could better understand the chiluk between black and other colors if we're talking about Makabe Patish as opposed to Kibbutz. And the Aruch HaShulchan points out, Shin Beis Beis, you could better understand the requirement of Kepeda. Meaning that you understand if we're looking at this from a perspective of Kibbutz, then why is it so clear that you're only makbid on dirt on black clothing, you're not makbid on dirt on white or dust and white or red clothing? And why is there a difference between beged chadash and beged yasha? But if it's makbid patish, so then maybe it's easier to understand that the makbid patish is on dafka beged shachor, where the readying it to be usable is more apparent when it comes to black than other colors.
That would also apply to Levi's.
The way the Aruch HaShulchan presents it, he thinks it's more readily understood in the Makabe Patish context than in the Levi context.
Why is that again? Because it's
he thinks that why shouldn't a person be makbid about afar on his red clothing? But if we're looking from the Makabe Patish perspective, then
we're only talking only in the case when there's white stuff on it. I mean, when you're talking about something that's white on, and it only matters if it's black clothing. But in other cases where you might have something black on a white clothing, then you wouldn't say that's a problem.
Don't know.
Sihuv Levan,
yeah. Not sure. Yeah.
It is could help Rabbi in the sense that in the Aruch HaShulchan, he's trying to differentiate between Tal and Afar. I mean, not Rashi's Afar and Rambam's Afar, but Tal and Afar, so then you can easily more easily explain the fellow between different types of clothing. It's like, my shell, leave one for a red garment or a white garment is for a black garment the same, but if it's afar, so then maybe for a black garment when it's really a nikar and it's the end of the process.
No, but he's coming to explain why, for the Rambam, why it makes more sense that we're coming mitzai makabe patish than mitzai kibbutz.
Right. I mean,
you're saying what?
Oh, I thought that I must have misunderstood. I thought they were asking the difference between afar of Rashi and afar of Rambam.
No, he's asking Makabe Patish or the Kibbutz. So right now I'm saying over, I don't fully understand why it's more compelling to understand the difference in terms of Makapatish over Kibbutz. Okay. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? The beginning of Siman Shin Beis. Yeah.
I just get the translation of the Rambam on Chabad.
Chabad?
Yeah. So they're saying that the Rambam is talking about the case where there are white threads in the clothing.
Yeah.
So you're removing it. And it's so maybe the specific case that the Rambam is talking
about. Well, that sounds like the Prima Gadim's Gersa, not the Gersa Lefaneinu. But go on, yeah.
No, so I'm just saying that it could be that the specific practice that the Rambam was talking about,
yeah,
the Makapatish only applied to white threads. And that's what the tailors would do. You'd remove the white threads from a black garment. But you wouldn't have...
What are you coming to explain?
Why it wouldn't apply the other way if you hold this Makapatish. It wouldn't matter what the color. Why it does matter what the color of the garment is. And it's not the patish, and it's something specific. That's the what the tailors would do back then.
Okay. But the Magamisha understands Sea of Lavan is a reference to Tal. The Prima Gadim's Gear said Samar Lavan. So then that's some white, maybe white threads. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I just found the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rambam and it says, Chayv Mishum Maka the patish.
Yeah, so that's how.
It sounds like that's Kirsa,
though. Oh, it sounds like. Where are you? Sivkatan. No, it's not a verbatim quote anyway. One second. This is an Aratel Kadosh Shkara. It actually is. Okay, Akan Dvar was not Akan Lashono, but you're right, it is verbatim rather than those words. I know the Frankel Shina Nuschos, he doesn't have any such nusach. At least you have the newer, they redid Zman a few years ago, which I have the newer one at home. I don't have it here. You can check if they added any. In this Shina Nuschos, he doesn't have it. So I don't think the Mishnah Berurah had more manuscripts than Rabbi Frankel did. But, okay, I hear. Good. So, says the Mechaber, the beginning of Shin Beis. Haminayr talis kadosh shechora minatal shela chayav shanir yafula kmo kibus v'hu shemakbed ola shela lulav shabalo niyar. So the mechaber says we're talking about tal, like Tosfos, like the Ben Chanano. Hagav v'kol shekein she'asir l'nayr bege shenasha b'mayim o sheyardu lav gishamim v'dafka b'bege chada shemakbed ola. Yesh omrim da aser l'nar bega mina abek shalav and makbid olav. Excuse me, lachush the dvarav. Yesh omrim, like Rashi, that not only does aser is it aser to be minar min atal, but it's aser to be minar min ha avak. V'yesh lachush l'dvarav. Says the Mishnah Berurah sifkatan vav. V'tov lachush l'dvarav. I am Billy Rabba, Shekasa Dimidina Yeshis Rizas. Not just the Chumra, he harbored Rishonim Sovereign Kshitas Rashi, quotes in the bottom of the Sharitzi and the Urayim, Sefer Truma, Shibali Aleket. When we come back, near the Yesh Lisma, De Rishon al Hakel, I de Eno Yehudi. However, to be matter, Amir Lenachri, if you want, to ask your next door neighbor to shake off the dust from your suit jacket. Then you can be makel from Amir Lenachri, the tziruf, the ikar shita, or the shita of the mechaber, like Tosfos, that there's no isur kibus absent liquid. The tov lizar, kishavah shachit, the shabbos of Esa Medrash, lenia kovo begada b'makam shimor. You should be careful to put your hat in a safe place that it shouldn't get dirty on Shabbos. Okay. But let's talk a little bit about the parameters of the kapeda, which seems to be a prerequisite for the chiyuv kibbutz on mena'er talisa. The beralacha here, dibra maskil aleha, behusha makbid aleha. They says, at first blush, v'huda kapid sounds like you actually have to be makbid for there to be a problem. But we don't assume that bistam, you're makbid. And then he says, that's the case, that you don't assume that bistam, you're makbid, then why is it pasha to Ula that the rabbis were being machal Shabbos? How did he know that they were makbid? The Mishmur thinks that you have to say the Huda Kapid is just coming to be Mema'it where you know that he's not makbid. But this time, if you have new black clothing, then you assume that you're makbid. And he says that's in the Rambam. Not the Rambam, the Smag. He says the Girsa is dikapitalayu as opposed to vikapitalayu. That if not kapeda is another requirement, it's assumed that you're kapeda. So he thinks that lahalacha, if you're dealing with black new, which we'll have to talk about in a few moments what the scope of that is, but if you're dealing with something that is subject to kibbutz, the assumption is, the default, is that you're makbid, unless we know otherwise. Yeah.
Can I just ask a question on something you said a minute ago?
Yeah.
But why should the person be careful not to make sure that their hat doesn't get wet?
Because then you don't have the nisayon to deal with the dust in a way that you may come to violate nisar kibbutz if you're not careful.
The gzeira is to actively get it wet. So we're saying someone has to be careful to not.
No, I'm talking, sure. The mission was to make a practical suggestion. Menara talisa is a chiyuv katas. Right? So menara, your hat, is a chiyuv katas. You're going to put your hat down in a place that's going to get dirty, so you're going to have the nisayo not to brush it off. So don't put yourself lowly de nisayon. That's what...
This doesn't have something to protect his hat like on Shabbos in the rain. He shouldn't worry about it.
No, that... The concern... In practice, we're not really concerned about I think we're more concerned that you're going to be minayer kovo min afar than minayer kovo min hageshem. You know, you don't usually brush off rain, snow maybe, but you don't, which would be a problem, but you don't usually brush rain off a hat. But you do brush dust off a hat.
I'm just wondering, lemanaf kamina the bear halacha maisa, meaning I have a black new talis, let's say, so
right.
I should decide, meaning I should say that I'm stama makbid, meaning if I don't know I'm peda, like where does it express itself in the halacha? In the case of Ula, yeah, he could assume that my stama they're makbid, so he could be, you know, angry at them, but
right.
If I'm my own talis, like I know.
In a konami.
So let's say I should make sure that my clothes aren't on the floor in Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for other reasons too, but yeah. But you should make sure not to put your hat on top of a dusty bookcase. Okay. Shmir Shabbos writes, Perek Tesvav Se'if Kaftas, Tesvav Kaftas, that when we talk about Makbid, and we'll see in a few moments that this whole discussion may be largely theoretical because we end up being Machmer pretty broadly as far as these criterion, but the standard of what's considered kapeda for these purposes should depend on how you would dress yourself during the week and not on Shabbos. Meaning, if you would walk around on a weekday with a certain amount of dust on your clothing and it wouldn't bother you, then even if you would dress differently on Shabbos or you wouldn't walk out that way on Shabbos, that's not considered to be makbid for these purposes. And he quotes here in footnote Sadi Dalid that Shlomo Zalman remarked that people showed him a Sfas Emes and a Rid that both say this. Hiske Rid and Ar Gemara Kufim Zayin of Aleph just says, the Huk the Kapti Elayu Perish Bechol, that the standard of Kveda is based on how a person dresses or would appear Bechol, not Bishabis. And the Sfas Emes says the same thing, Midate, Minafshe, on our Sugya. Yeah.
I like how you would dress in a regular day as opposed to, or like the most formal that you would dress during the week.
I think it means on a regular day. Meaning, I assume that most people would dress at a chas another way they would dress on Shabbos. But the regular, you go to work, how would you dress? How would you dress going to work? Now, why does any of the, why should any of this make a difference? Why? What is the significance of kepeda in this context that the iser of kibbutz by Minara Taliso is only relevant be de makbid? So the Be'er Halacha writes, v'hushit makbid, hatam da'i de'zeh mikri yipoi v'habeget. That it's only really considered that you're affecting and improving the beged if there's a kapeda about it, if you wouldn't wear that clothing otherwise. And then he raises the question, let's say you're brushing the dust off someone else and you're makbid, but he's not makbid. So is that considered to be kapeda? Is the kapeda dependent on the wearer or the kapeda dependent on the minayer? Mishnah Berurah leaves out the tzarachian. I saw in the Shabbos kitchen, he says, he thinks it should be clear though, that let's say your kid, your 7, 8, 9-year-old isn't makbid, but you, the father, the mother is makbid. So that's not the same question he says as the Mishnah Berurah, because there, the kid's not makbid because he's a kid. He's not a bardas to be makbid, he's not a halachi bardas, but he's not aware of social norms to be makbid about what he looks like when he goes outside. So if objectively that's not considered presentable to be walking outside with that kind of an appearance, even if the kid couldn't care less, that would be considered to be makbid. Yeah.
An example of the Gemara, it seemed like it was not good based on the one he was passing it to. That he wasn't makbid and therefore he'd want to shake it.
Abaye Avakai Kamed Rav Yosef. He said, give me my hat.
But he knows his own Akpados. That's not his question.
He didn't want to give it to him. And he said, no, I'm not Makbid. Not necessarily there. Abaye didn't want to give Rabbi Yosef his hat because he thought that anyone would be makbid in this situation. And then Rabbi Yosef said, no, it's okay, I'm not makbid, so you don't have to worry. Meaning Abaye was worried that Rabbi Yosef was makbid and would brush it off. And Rabbi Yosef said, no, I'm not makbid, so it's okay.
Do he thought Yosef was like going to violate the din.
Just like Ula thought that that the rabbis were violating the din.
Well, Rabbi, also, it's only if it's with a kid that, or anytime there's objectively, it's not something that's acceptable by social norms. Even if it's an adult, that would also be mad. But...
Not necessarily. Meaning, if the adult's a bardas and he just he doesn't care about his appearance, so maybe for him that's not makbid. So the Ritva writes here in our Sugya Dir Masvel Huda Kapid that if a person is in makbid, the avid hachi la ayin yafa ba'alma la chashiv liben klal vafilu. Midrabana. That if you don't really care, you'd walk out with that anyway, but you're just doing it, Liesser says, lying up for super good appearance, then that's not considered to be Liban, even Midrabana. It doesn't really flesh out there what's behind makbid as being the standard. The Rashba writes, of course, about Logos Rashi Tosfos, and he says, Ulaman de kapid have psik reshe, Ulaman de lo kapid. Leka ella davar she'ein miskaven she'eino kibus gamur. That if a person is makbid, so that's considered like a psikreshe. You wouldn't walk out dressed that way. So we treat that as a psikreshe. If he's not makbid, so even if you're cleansing the baggage on some level, but that's like a davar she'eino miskaven, she'eino kibus gamur. Yeah.
So
how do you understand that? Well, how do you understand that?
That's my question.
Okay.
I'm saying the Rashi is saying that a person's less likely to do not err completely if he's not makbid, so the probabilities go down, or it's a function of his kavana.
Sounds like it's a function of his kavana. No.
So hevel matzina the darshim is kavin is a function of his kavana.
Yeah. So what do you say?
This might be the case because it's an acceptance.
Yeah, no.
Maybe what Akiva was rejecting, but
mm-hmm.
Isn't it not just that if you're makbid, then mistama you're going to do it more bechozek, and that's a psikresha. And why are pachatas for psikresha? I'm not sure about that. But if you're not makbid, if you're not makbid, so therefore you're not going to do it as well, let's say, and therefore it's only davarshin miskavin.
I think that's reading a lot into the Rashba. And I don't know how literally he means segreshe as opposed to and Dabrashen Miskavin here, or if it's more of a kind of beliefs on some level. Anyone else? Yeah.
I would just respond to the one's point. Like the Gemara says Akala is like a factor, meaning it's
right.
Like you're saying like in the same case, in the same insidious, in the same amount,
mm-hmm.
I would assume of like force of shaking it off.
Right.
Yeah, so again, the Machlokes Rishmon of Yehuda never says the Pirush Devarshin Miskavin, the probability isn't 100. It's just saying that if in a case of a psik resha avada, like he knows it's going to happen, so we say that he had kavana for it. Here, Devarshin Miskavin is going to get clean, but he doesn't have kapeda. The nature of the nair is such that he doesn't really want to do the kibbutz. So you can't really assign kibbutz or liban to him because he's not doing it. We said before, it's a malacha klusha, so this is not really a manar. But if he's kapid, then what wasn't a malacha originally becomes a malacha. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, beforehand, because he wasn't makbid, it's a malacha klusha, and so even though it's 100% going to happen, it's not a malacha. Meaning, it's not menorah, it's not a malacha. Is he's not kapit on it, so he's not doing kibbutz. But once he's kapit, then you took what wasn't a malacha into malacha. It's like a psik ratio. It's like the same thing that happens in the malacha psik ratio. We say, no, you're doing malachi. The same way that psik ratio for Rabbi Shimon is like, no, you know it's going to happen. That's why he ends off by saying it's not it's a malach and gruel.
Ain't no kibbutz gomer. Not sure. Yes, I'm not really sure how to read the Rashba. Am I saying something?
No, I think the Satsang is good.
Yeah, what do you say?
I think he said something along the lines of what people said. But yeah, no, that's not said about the third hand.
Which people last with that?
I really copied a lot. First half times. And who comes down about.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll try to give a little more thought. I'm not exactly sure how to read the Rashba. Rabbi Karp just points out that he thinks that the gather of Makbid is whether a person would not wear such a garment with that appearance. Meaning not that if a person would wear the garment, it would just bother him a little bit, that's not called makbid. Makbid is that you wouldn't even wear it. He says that's mashba lashon beis yosef, afilu below near lo hayanimna milalov show. That you wouldn't not wear it just because you can't brush it off. And Lashon or Zerua, im yesh darka lahakbid bekach tadir, shelo latzeispo. If that's a derech, a person wouldn't walk out wearing this kind of clothing. However, the Mishmur writes in Be'er Lacha, Dibur Maska Lachosh Lidvarav. He quotes from Yonasan Aibish, it's Yairus Devash. I couldn't find it inside, so if you find where this Yairus Devash is, please let me know. The Lefisha Lo Yadanu Akama Nikra Chadash. Lachein sarach lizar bekula. That in principle, in order to be a problem in Nair, it has to be black, new, and makbid. what's the significance of new versus old? That if it's old, then the offer is not going to have much of an effect on it. It doesn't really alter the appearance. So the Mishmura quotes, we don't really know. So new presumably doesn't mean you only wore it once. Old doesn't mean you only wore it once. Presumably means that it's so worn that the dust isn't going to change the appearance at all. So we don't know what's considered new or old for that purpose. L'chein tzarech lizar b'kula. Shari achon ol hiskir davar zeh einon b'kiyum v'machmir tava ola bracha v'mekel yesh lo al ma lismach.
Does this apply to clothing that comes back from that you clean thoroughly? Can it regain a status of kadosh if it becomes legally used bleach on a white?
So what the Mishnah was quoting from the Arith Rash, definitely.
Right.
I think even if he's saying it's a low plug, we don't really know what's kadosh or yasha. But I assume that even if you're going to make all of that, but if it's something that it's clear that the afar has an effect, so we would treat that as kadosh.
It's fairly good to Jewish Arab.
Do you find it inside?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Should I read it?
Please.
Now, there, Marshall, from night, Alec, or Quidam in a Begit Shakur, or Kobe in Begit Kadosh, or Rashi, Abelako. Mishu share is done now. You can beg Kadosh, Kinotim, and Zan Kogan, Shemakri, Choyal of Abak, of Nasina, Harabim, Rabim, Shemai, and Bidan, the Kovish of Ahem, and Kotikim, the Gashim of Tal, Uko Gomor, of Nasina, Harabim, Wushin, Dak, Vishad, Begit Shakur, Luhub, of Nasina, Harabim, Waste of Satan, Shaday Kaki, Lo Mario, Tal Shabbos, Kedona, Haroch, and Matil, Kus, Yamuka Fomo, Ogima, Hot Summer, Shusiak, Shusiak, and Sultan, and Shusiakim. And he goes on about renting that
other stuff that he provided. So the Maisa Satan is that people are Menayer black clothing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you could send that to me, please. But then the Bar Halacha says, Idima Maschel Aleha, that if you know that you're Makbid, then even if you'll call it a Baged Yashan, or even if it's a colored Baged, that's still going to be an Isser. One second. So the bottom line between the Yemenos and Ivishitz about Chadash versus Yashan and the Berlacha's other point that if you're Makbid, then that's relevant even the Yashan Vesumki, in practice, most people, I believe, tend to be Makbid about most Begadim not to have dirt on it. In which case, in practice, the concern of Menara Taliso would generally be relevant in most situations for clothing and hats. So if you have dirt on a hat or dust on or in a hat or a garment, then that would be subject to the Isser of Menara Taliso. Now, the Mishnah Berurah also quotes, the Ramah ends, that you are allowed to remove feathers because feathers are not embedded in the fabric. They're on top of the beged. So the Isser of Kivus of Menara Taliso, if you have something that's somewhat embedded. So the upper is embedded, the tile is embedded. If something is totally on the surface, so then that's not subject to Menara Taliso. That's the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Zayin, She'ein Zadome Lilibun, She'ein anotzos techuvin b'socho k'mo amayim v'afar ela omdin milmala v'lechein muter afilu b'chadash u'makbid alad. He does go on in Shaar Tzion and Magen Avraham close to Sefer Zichronos who asers even on feathers ayin b'ver grash and irish amask m'adas harama le hetera. And Mishnah Berurah says he's not choshesh lalacha for this chumrah in the Magen Avraham. And therefore, if you have something that is on the surface, it would be mutter to remove. That wouldn't be an isser of kibbutz. Yeah, there are questions?
What about if you have lint on your suit?
Yeah, so is lint or dandruff? Let's say, so is dandruff embedded or is it totally on the surface?
I would think from the Gemara that a Menar Taliso, and Rashi says Mina Ofar,
right.
It's not embedded. I mean, I know we just said that that's the
chilek right.
That matters, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't think that all Ofar is so attached to the suit, especially since if you could shake it out, it'll come off.
And so embedded doesn't mean fully embedded. It means that it's somewhat absorbed in the material.
Right.
So it's hard to know. It's hard to know where to draw the line. I would be inclined to think that lint and dandruff is the equivalent of afar, and that's embedded enough, as opposed to a feather that's or a string that's totally not me'urav with the fabric. And even if it's not fully embedded, but if you have dirt, dandruff, dust. It's some ma'urav with the jacket. If I have a feather, a string on the jacket, so that's not at all ma'urav. That's totally a surface, I would think. Yeah.
If you blow it off, do we assume it's already not embedded, or is it?
No, already... no, I don't think so.
What about towel? Is not embedded.
Towel, I think, is a little bit. I mean, it's ma'urav to some extent.
And it's used by a feather. It's not that it's like stuck vertically. It's kind of just on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
How about sweeping the carpet?
So sweeping the carpet would be equivalent to min aratalisa, that if you have dirt that's embedded in the carpet, that would be the same thing.
But for things that are just sitting on the surface, that would be fine.
Yeah. Okay, so we still have to talk about, come back to Siv Zion and talk about scraping stains, and we still have to talk about hanging wet clothing out to dry. Where's everyone holding marmakomas wise?
Baby wipes.
Sorry?
Baby wipes.
Okay. You're done with the marmakomas?
Yeah.
Okay, is everyone else done? Anyone else done?
Baby wipes.
Baby wipes. And Khalifa, you did already or not? No? Okay. So are we at the point? Should we have two shiurim this week to finish up, or do you need more time? Meaning we still have to talk about Siv Zion. We have to talk about clothes out to dry. That should be half of a shiur. We have to talk about baby wipes. There's another half a shiur. We have to talk about contact lens solution and then Khalifa. So that's probably 2.5 more shiurim, and then we're going on to Zohra, which should be one shiur, and then Boer, which should take a while. So I can give you marmakomos now on Zohra Boer for those of you who are ready for that. So I would think that next year, right, we probably need two more shiurim to finish all the Liban and Dash related topics that we have. Does anyone anticipate being totally done with who's totally done with all the marmakos I sent you already?
Julian and I.
I'm sorry?
Julian and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll finish.
Anyone else? Okay. Who expects to be totally done by Wednesday?
Yeah.